Over this past week, if you've been out driving, particularly in the country, we were up around County Londonderry just at the beginning of last week for a few days. And when you're driving through the country, one thing was very noticeable on those lovely, sunny, warm days. And that was that the farmers were busy. The farmers were busy in the field. They were making the best of the good weather and harvesting in their crops. The wheat fields, the wheat fields of corn, the potatoes, and all the crops that had been sown. By a few weeks back, they were lamenting, and people were lamenting that the harvest was going to be lost because of the bad summer that we've had. But then in the past week, things have turned around, and they were making the most of the opportunity to get the harvest gathered in. Of course, gathering in the harvest is because in the early months of the year, in the spring months, those same farmers who are gathering in the harvest went out to sow the seed. And the seed had to be sown. And then as the summertime came, it began to germinate and grow. And now we come to this harvest season, which is at this particular time of the year. The Lord Jesus, in his preaching, he used many parables. And he used parables to illustrate and to simplify the message he wanted to get over to the people. He sought to use parables. It says that without a parable spake he not. And one of the parables that Jesus told was this parable of the sower. The sower who went out to sow his seed. Perhaps while he was speaking to the people and preaching to the people, he saw a man out on the hillside sowing his seed. And he used that as an illustration and a means of getting over to them the message that he wanted to bring them. And we find that this parable of the sower of the seed is found in three of the Gospels. It's found in Luke and in Matthew and in Mark. In Luke chapter 8, we've been reading about here tonight. Also find it in Mark chapter 13. And of course, the meaning is a parable. I remember down in the central school in Lisburn when they were trying to educate me many years ago, I was taught that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a story that's used to illustrate what's being taught. And this is a story about a sower or a farmer who went out to sow his seed. And as Jesus told the story, he said, you know, some fell by the wayside. And when it fell by the wayside, it was trodden down and the fowls of the air devoured it. And as he sowed his seed, some fell upon a rock, or as Matthew puts it, on stony ground, and it lacked moisture. There was no moisture to help it to germinate and grow. And after a while, he says, my, it withered away. And then some of the seed, it fell among thorns. And as it grew up, the thorns grew up with it and choked it. But some fell on good ground. And my, it sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, it's possible to hear something with the outer ear, but never to get it into the heart. It's possible to stand and listen to somebody speaking and yet not take it in, be thinking of something else or listening to someone else who's near you. And Jesus said, my, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The fact of the matter was that if you don't hear with the inner ear, then the message makes no impression upon your heart. And the disciples said to him, "What meaneth this? What might this parable be?" What does it mean? They couldn't understand what the parable was that Jesus was teaching them. And they said, "What might this parable be?" And in verse 11, he says, "Now the parable is this." And he begins to explain to them this parable and the meaning behind it. And there's three simple little headings that I want to leave with you tonight. First of all, there's the sower. The sower went out to sow his seed. And then there's the seed. The sower went out to sow a seed. And then, of course, there's the soil. So you couldn't get it simpler than that. Sure, you couldn't. The sower, seed, and the soil. The sower sowed the seed, and he sowed the seed in different kinds of earth, different kinds of soil. So we want to think, first of all, for a moment about the sower. I'm sure that the method of sowing seed is greatly changed from what it was then. I would imagine that then, when Jesus talked about a sower going out to sow a seed, he was thinking about a man with a basket under his arm, or a man with a bag around his neck, and as he went through the field, he was sowing his seed. He was sowing the seed, and some fell by the wayside, some fell among thorns, and so on. Farmers today have all kinds of modern day equipment, and what it took many people to do 50 years ago, my one man sitting on a tractor with the up-to-date machinery can do it what many men did my 50 years ago. And the sower, the Lord Jesus here, he's talking about this sower sowing the seed. And if the seed is the word of God, then the sower must be a picture of the servant of God. And he's underlining here the importance of the sower. My, if there's no sowing of the seed, there will be no reaping of the harvest. So sowing is a very important part of the work. Remember in John chapter 4, when Jesus talked about the sower and the reaper, he says, "One soweth and another reapeth, that both the sower and the reaper may rejoice together." And sometimes we see that worked out in a spiritual manner. A young fellow is brought up in a church. He goes to Sunday school. He's taught the gospel from an early age. He's prayed for. And then he goes maybe to some campaign or some mission somewhere, and all that he has learned and all that has come into his heart, my, the Holy Spirit takes it and works in his life, and he comes to Christ. Well, the sower was just as important as the reaper. One soweth and another reapeth, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. In Psalm 126, we read, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You know, Christ told his servants to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's saying, go ye into all the world and sow the seed of the gospel in men's hearts. So the preacher is a sower of the seed. The Sunday school teacher is a sower of the seed. The missionary is a sower of the seed. The people who go around the doors on a one-to-one ministry is a sower of the seed. The people who stand on the 12th day or on some other day and give out tracts, they're all involved in the same work. they're sowing the seed. This is something that every believer can be involved in. You can be a sower tonight. You can be a sower of the seed of the word of God. So we see here, first of all, the sower. Then you see the seed. It says the seed is the word of God. Yes, the word of God is described in different ways throughout the Bible. It's described as a light. In Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's described as a sword in Hebrews chapter 4 and 12. It's described as a sharp two-edged sword. It's described as a hammer in Jeremiah chapter 23, 29. It's described as water in Ephesians 5. It's described as food and manna that we read about when Moses went through the wilderness. It's described as wheat in Psalm 147. It's described as milk in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 2. And here it's referred to a seed. It's referred to a seed. Because seed, when it's sown, germinates and grows. And we need to sow the seed of the word of God in men's hearts so that it will germinate and grow. Peter in 1 Peter 1 said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Dear friends, if folks are to be born again, if people are to be saved, then the seed of the gospel will need to be sown in their hearts. And when it's sown in their hearts, the Holy Spirit will water the word and make it germinate and grow. And it's through this sowing of the seed that men and women can be born again when the gospel is preached unto them. And that's what we're here for tonight. We're here tonight on gospel business. We're here tonight for the preaching and the ministry of the gospel in word and song. This is a gospel meeting. I make no apologies for that. We're on gospel business. And the gospel is for people who are lost, for people who are dead in trespasses and in sin. And if you're here tonight and you've never been born again, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, then you're dead in trespasses and in sin. And my dear friends, you need to be born again. And you know, the gospel is about the love of God. It's the message of God's love for poor lost sinners, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it's the message of God's son, that God so loved the world that his son came. He sent his son who came from heaven and went to the cross at Calvary. And on the center tree at Calvary, the son of God died for me and died for my sins and shed his blood and paid the price of sin. And he rose again the third day to be a savior of all those that believe. And whosoever believeth on him, the Bible says, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, the sower needs to go out. And he needs to go into the field of the world and sow the seed of the gospel in the hearts of men and women. And when we sow the seed, we need to sow it faithfully. We need to be faithful. No matter who we offend, the cross has always been an offense and always will be an offense. But we need to preach the gospel faithfully. And we need to preach it patiently. We need to keep at it, not to give up. I hear people saying, you know, there's nobody coming. There's nobody here. We'll have to shut it down. We need to preach it patiently. God knows who's here. And God knows who's saved and who's not saved. And God can bring people in. And we need to preach it prayerfully. We need to water it with our prayers. So we see the sower, the importance of the sower. And we see the seed. The seed is the word of God. Now, in what's left of the meeting, I want to talk about the soil. The soil. Because the kind of ground that the seed is sown on will determine whether the seed that's sown will germinate and grow and bear fruit. And you'll find there are four different types of ground here in this parable. And these types of ground, they describe the attitude or the condition of the hearts on which the seed is sown, or how men receive the word when it's sown. And that's the crucial point. My dear friends, the seed may be sown faithfully, but it's how the seed is received that will determine whether it will bear fruit. You know, Jesus, when he explains the parable, he says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You know, these are casual hearers. They listen for a while. The word fell by the wayside. It lay there for a while. And people come along for weeks maybe, and for months, and they sit under the gospel. And after a while, you begin to notice that, you know, they pay no attention anymore. They're not interested. They're disinterested in the message and all the rest of it and what's being said. And so the seed that's sown, the seed that falls by the wayside, then cometh the devil and taketh away the seed out of people's hearts, lest they would believe and be saved. You know, friends, the devil comes to every gospel meeting, particularly where the gospel's preached. And he comes to take away the seed out of people's hearts. Why? Because he knows if those people believe, they'll be saved. Other people mightn't believe it, but he believes it. He believes and he knows that unless he takes the word out of their heart, if those people believe, they'll be saved. And so he steals the seed. My dear friends, these are casual and careless hearers. The seed falls by the wayside. It falls by the wayside. People listen. They probably know the gospel as well as any child of God knows it. But the seed falls by the wayside and Satan steals it out of their hearts. And then Jesus said, they on the rock or they on stony ground. He says, they that receive the word with joy and these of no root which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. You know, if you take those who came to Christ in the New Testament, like the Philippian jailer, like the publican, like the woman at the well, like the 10 lepers and then the 1 leper, you'll find that they experienced joy after they got saved. The Philippian jailer, he was greatly concerned before he got saved. He was convicted. He was troubled. And when the gospel comes to sinners in power, it shows people their need of Christ and it convicts them of their sin. And men and women need to see their need in order to appreciate the remedy for sin. But these people, where the seed fell on stony ground, they received the word with joy. One of the commentators puts it like this. There are people who enjoy listening to sermons. There are people who enjoy going to meetings. And I know people down through the years who have come to the gospel meeting on Sunday night. They've enjoyed the choruses. They've enjoyed the singers who come. They've enjoyed the preaching of the gospel. They've enjoyed the whole atmosphere and the surroundings and all that the gospel entails. But those people have never come to Christ. They've never come. I remember in my first church in Belize, when I went, there was a young man. And my, he was prayed for then. He was prayed for then. And I left that church in 1987. And he's no younger a young man, and he's still being prayed for now. He's still being prayed for. I know people, and they know as much of the Bible as any preacher. And they can see the need for other people to be saved. But they never seem to apply it to themselves. And when they hear of so-and-so coming to the Lord, my, they're so happy about it. But dear friends, they never seem to make that commitment. Or they never seem to come and give their life to Jesus. My, they're like the people that Jesus talked about in John chapter 2. He did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And dear friends, tonight there are those, and the seed falls on stony ground and it lacks moisture. And they believe for a while. They make a profession for a bit. And they go on for a while. And then they fall away. There's no depth to their faith. There's no soundness to their coming to Christ. And then he talks about the others, and he says, and they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, this speaks of those who have heard the word of God and have been spoken to by the Spirit of God, and they've been concerned about their own soul and about their personal salvation. But my dear friends, as the seed begins to germinate and grows up, it's choked by the thorns of life that grow up with it. It's choked with the thorns. Sometimes the thorns are thorns of fear. The thorns of fear. Proverbs says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. There's a whole lot of folks, and they know they need to be saved, but they're afraid of what their friends will say. They're afraid of what it will mean as far as their associations at the sports club or at school will mean. And because of the thorns of fear, the word of God is choked. And there's others. And you know, there's the thorns of pride. They're too proud to humble themselves and say, I belong to Jesus. And my dear friends, there's the thorns of pleasure. They think to themselves, you know, I'll have to give up all the pleasures and all the things that they enjoy. And people often talk about the things that they'll lose, but they never think of what they'll gain. Because I can tell you tonight that you'll gain far more than you lose. And there's the thorns of carelessness. And this is what happens when the seed falls among thorns and is choked. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. There was no depth. It's only a frivolous profession. No lasting effect in it. No fruit. No evidence. Some fell among thorns, and it was choked. And then Jesus said, but they that fell on good ground, which in an honest and good heart have heard the word and kept it, and bring forth fruit. What is meant by an honest and a good heart? What does he mean by that? My, an honest and a good heart. He means this, one who faces up to his true condition and acknowledges his sins. One who knows that he's on the broad road and heading for destruction. But one who knows that by the grace of God that he can be saved and he can be brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. One who knows that how he is now is wrong, but he can be made right with God. And that's a heart that's ready and prepared to receive the word of God. My, when the seed falls on good ground, it produces fruit. Fruit unto salvation. When the seed falls on good ground, my dear friends, it begins to germinate. And this book says that faith, because that's how you're saved, by faith in Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God is the gospel of God. And that's how faith comes. Men and women hear the gospel. God speaks to them. The Spirit moves in their heart. And my dear friends, when they're all they venture on Christ's atoning blood, the Holy Spirit enters and they're born of God. So here we have four classes of hearers. But the seed is the same. In each instance, it was the attitude of the hearer that was different. As we close tonight, dear friends, the seed is being sown. The gospel is being presented. And you're here. And God knows all about you. May it fall on good ground. May it fall in the good ground of your heart. Because if it does, I believe that that seed will produce fruit unto your salvation. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, may God speak to you. May God move in your life tonight. And may it fall on the good ground of your heart that you might become a child of God and have your sins forgiven and be ready for heaven. Remember the sower. Remember the seed. Remember the soil. And remember that the harvest has come again. And this book says that the harvest is past and the summer is ended and you're not saved. Many people have seen many harvests and many summers, but they're not saved. You need to be saved, friends. You need to be saved lest this is the lost harvest, lest this is the deadline for you. May God speak, move in your heart, bless his word to your soul, for his name's sake. Amen.